Breaking news today on Seculo as an American is killed by an Iranian drone.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. With all the conflict around the world, this was a breaking news story late last night, but there's been continued action. So late last night, an Iranian made drone fired by an Iranian proxy, likely that would be Hezbollah because this was in Syria, killed one U.S. contractor, military contractor, and three other American soldiers are injured at least. We then responded with an attack on a base for that Iranian affiliate. There's very careful language here. We'll talk to Rick Grinnell and Mike Pompeo about that. They're going to be joining us in this first hour, half hour of the broadcast, because they're not blaming directly Iran, but of course Hezbollah is controlled by Iran, and we know they're operating as well. I want to put it up on the screen right now for those of you watching, because when you hear that there is a U.S. base in Syria, you might kind of be thinking an outpost like in Afghanistan with very much like CIA and secretive. This is not that. This is very official in the sense that we've got a U.S. flag flying. I mean, that's a base. That's a statement
called
base.
Called a coalition base, actually.
Which also provides a target.
Yeah, so this was, most of these were put in place during the primary time when ISIS was making moves in the greater Middle East, including in Syria.
The Syrian Civil War, which is still ongoing.
It's still ongoing, and we have these bases. We have probably about 900 CIA operative types, they call them contractors, roughly in the region.
Military,
and some U.S. military. But as you see, there's an American flag flying here. So this was a direct attack by an Iranian proxy on a U.S., this is what's interesting, on a U.S. base, or at least a U.S. affiliated base. And at the same time, understand that the Russians have been negotiating a resolution of hostilities between Saudi Arabia and Iran when Iran was on a trajectory under the previous administration. We'll talk to Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell about this in a moment, to be in alliance with Israel. So this is quite a change that's taken place. And this was a direct assault on the United States.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so you've got this base is right between Turkey and Iraq. And of course, Iran is right there. It doesn't border, but yeah, there we've got on the screen for everybody. So, I mean, this, again, so it's northeast Syria. It's probably a wake-up call to a lot of American people this morning that we're still so active there. But that is why we've heard reports, you know, ISIS has been reconstituting. This is why we have those 900 individuals, a mixer of contractors and U.S. troops, is to make sure they aren't able to create a caliphate, even in the midst of what is a very complicated situation in Syria with Assad's regime, ISIS and Iran involved. And of course, the U.S. involved.
Yeah.
Russia was involved there as well.
No, this is the problem. Russia has been very involved. Our first book we wrote
kind
on the Middle East.
Side there.
After we wrote Riots of ISIS, the second book in the trilogy was Unholy Alliance. It was Russia, Syria, and Iran. Iran seems to be the constant in all of this, whether it's Iran or Hezbollah, an Iran proxy. And what a proxy war means is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is not going in there necessarily themselves, but they train Hezbollah. These are terrorist organizations operating in the Middle East, and they have them go in and do their bidding. And it's called a proxy war. We did a movie about this whole issue calling Export, which was involving – it's a great movie. Interviews that we'll never get again. I mean, these were incredible. We should probably retool that movie and get it back out now years later, because it is relevant today as it was then. And it focused on that exact issue of this proxy war with Iran. And in a sense, we were in that proxy war last night and this morning.
Yeah, the war continues.
Yes.
And I think that we haven't paid as much attention because ISIS was destroyed. The leader was taken out by President Trump, and there has not been as much Islamic terror in the world.
Right.
There was a great partnership made in the Gulf states, but that partnership has now changed.
That's correct.
Because Saudi Arabia, upset with the Biden administration, and some of it is the war against their prince, some of it is the war against fossil fuel, has brokered an agreement with Iran, which is unheard of. And very unfortunate that the Biden administration
making with the Abraham Accords
making the world a more dangerous place
for
Americans.
On hold. Yes,
again,
targeting America. American was
Americans
killed.
Dead.
Yeah, so this is serious stuff. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Coming up, our special counsel on global affairs and our senior advisor on global affairs. That'll be Rick Grinnell, followed by Mike Pompeo. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Overnight, very late last night, the news broke that an Iranian-made drone was used by an Iranian proxy. Let's be honest, that proxy is controlled by Iran. It's Hezbollah in Syria that targeted a U.S. troops as well as U.S. contractors. A U.S. contractor has been killed. At least three U.S. troops have been injured by that drone attack. Then the U.S. responded by an attack on that affiliate of Iran, as they're going to say, on a Hezbollah base. That killed eight Hezbollah fighters, I think, Will. Then they responded again. Another attack on our base in Syria. No casualties reported from that attack. The big question now is, what happens next? So the U.S. has not responded to that attack yet.
No, that's right. So, but you've got an ongoing conflict. All right, let's get Rick Grinnell in. Rick, of course, was U.S. ambassador to Germany, obviously a significant role there, but also the director of national intelligence. Rick, first of all, your reaction to this move by the Iranians. The thing that concerns me in this, Rick, is we had a lot of progress under your administration, especially under the Abraham Accords. And it looked like Saudi Arabia was, although they didn't formally join the Accords, they were in line to. And now it looks like they're realigning a little bit with Iran because of Russia's brokerage here. But what is your assessment of the situation with this Iranian-backed, at least, or a drone attack on a U.S. Base, and we lost an American?
Well, look, it's clear that this appeasement strategy from the Biden administration is not working. We've seen an increase of attacks. You can't look at the facts and not see that there has been Iranian and Iranian-backed groups attacks, an increase in attacks since Joe Biden took office. Remember that one of the first things they tried to do was to immediately engage the Iranians. There was talk about paying them to come back to the table, giving away as much as they could just to get the Iranians back to a negotiations. And that whole idea was pay them, keep them close, because then we might be able to monitor their nuclear weapons programs. What the Trump administration policy was is to galvanize the world to sanction and isolate Iran. That was working. It should have been a policy that was kept in place. But instead, you had Joe Biden, who literally took the Houthis off the terrorist list. And within just weeks, the Houthis were bombing and sending missiles into the UAE. These bad policies, these weak policies, have consequences.
You know, Rick, what I think people are going to be surprised about, and it's just because it really just hasn't gotten much news coverage. Obviously, this base wasn't secret. We showed the image of it to folks. I mean, it's a pretty serious-sized base. It's got a U.S. flag flying. But to our audience, that we are still that engaged in Syria. And you know, we were explaining earlier that we want to make sure that ISIS does not come back on the rise. But the issue here is that is this the potential for a new escalation in what is a very complicated ongoing civil war?
Look, the answer is yes. And the other success that Donald Trump had in Syria, and the reason why ISIS was destroyed, the reason why we really calmed that situation down from when the Obama-Biden team had inflamed it, is because Russia is absolutely in control in Syria. And we need to be very clear about that. The Russian relationships with the Iranians and the Chinese right now is a growing relationship. This is a game of high-stakes chess. And the reality is that you have to be talking to the Russians if you want to keep the Islamic State from rising inside Syria. The Russians are very good at controlling the Iranians when they want to be. I'm not suggesting that the Russians are total strategy, but if you're going to talk about calming the situation down in Syria so that we can better control terrorism, you've got to have discussions with the Russians. The Russians want certain things out of Syria. They want the ports, they want oil. There should be a negotiation to keep peace or greater peace in Syria. This is just the reality, and Donald Trump did a fantastic job of it.
The thing that I'm concerned with, one is one of many. I wrote a book, this was probably 5 years ago now, called Unholy Alliance, and it was really focused on Russia, Iran, and Syria, and the whole jihadi threat. And then during your time in office, we saw that our relationship with Russia improved significantly, which then brought about the stability in the region. Israel's relationship with Russia was in much better shape. You had the Gulf states joining the Abraham Accords. Iran, as you said, was being isolated. And then the first thing that the Biden administration did was try to get back into the JCPOA, which, of course, is the Iranian nuclear deal. And it's not happened because the Iranians aren't going to do it. But the people are saying that the Iranians are on the threshold. I don't want you to divulge anything, but you were the director of a national intelligence. Do you believe that Iran is close to capability of a nuclear weapon, and would they use it if they had it?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes and yes. And the reality is that we can't trust the Iranian regime. They lie. They've lied from the very beginning about the number of centrifuges that they told John Kerry that they had. They've lied about the heavy water production that they have done. They've been caught. They scrub sites. There's one thing to remember is that the UN's IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, they are scientists. They don't carry guns. They don't go into rooms or go into places where they are not automatically welcomed in by the Iranians. The Security Council of the UN is designed to be there when the IAEA wants to go check out a site and the Iranian regime says no. That then bubbles up to the Security Council, and the Security Council is supposed to be the one that says, okay, let them in or we'll write a bad report on you. There are not good consequences for the Iranian regime to deny the international community, the UN, from getting what it needs to issue a report that says that they're not seeking a nuclear weapon. So the short answer is we don't know exactly because we're not getting very good information.
We have phone calls coming in about this situation where a U.S. contractor has been killed by an Iranian drone. 3 U.S. troops have been injured. This is in Syria. Lynn in Washington State on line one. Hey, Lynn.
Hi. I was wondering, have we heard anything at all from President Joe Biden regarding this incident? It's late in the day already where you guys are. Washington is open. Has President Biden said anything to the people?
Well, of course, we responded by military attack, so that's one thing. Remember, we there was a response. We killed 9 Hezbollah fighters, and then they responded No casualties again on the U.S. side, so we don't know what if there will be a next response yet. There's also been there's a written statement out from Secretary Austin, but John Kirby did make this statement to CNN that we can play right now by 27.
He had a discussion with his national security team on the way up here to Ottawa in the wake of the drone strike on our base in Syria and received recommendations from Defense Department leaders and the intelligence community about what response options could look like. He made the decision very, very shortly in that discussion to authorize these strikes against these particular targets.
And then, Rick, they struck back. Okay, so let me ask you this. What should be the next move here for the United States? If Rick Grenell was calling the shot here.
So remember, I'm a diplomat. I'm a long-term diplomat. And what I would just say here is we now have an American contractor that has been killed in Syria simply because the United States government is not able to talk to Russia about what's happening in Syria. We're not able to talk about Russia because of the Ukraine war, because of this chaos. We literally have a diplomatic breakdown. It's now causing Americans to be killed. It is going to get worse. I would be all for having strikes to retaliate if on the way to strikes you were having diplomatic conversations and somehow you weren't making progress. But by Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken's own admission, Jay, they have not spoken with their Russian counterparts until very recently. Over a year, there was no talk, and that's why Syria has delved into chaos.
You know, Rick, we appreciate your insight, your analysis. And again, this is an ongoing situation, but a wake-up call for the American people that we still have troops and contractors and Americans in harm's way in Syria who are directly combating. I mean, and Secretary Austin's statement said, Iranian Revolutionary Guards affiliated groups. I mean, they're not holding that back.
Let me say this also, though, about the American Center for Law and Justice. You just heard from our senior advisor, Rick Grenell, who's the former director of national intelligence. Coming up next is the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who happened to be a senior counsel of global affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice. So we did a campaign 2 years ago called Now More Than Ever, the need for the ACLJ. There's a good example of it right now. You're not getting this analysis anyplace else. And we'll work on the international tribunals to make sure that things are done correctly here and America's interests are protected, even if the administration decides not to. Your support makes a big difference. We're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. So any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do it. Let me say this also. I'm going to stay live during this break. We've got can we do that, Will, or should we not? We got a lot of people that are joining us on Rumble right now, and we encourage that as our preferred source to go to Rumble. Encourage you to do that right now.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Seculo. Again, to reset just quickly, Iranian drone used to strike an American base. A U.S. contractor has been killed, as well as three American service men or women injured. We then responded, killed eight Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps affiliated groups, so Hezbollah, and about eight of them have been killed. They then shot back at our base again. No one was injured. The question now is what happens next?
Yes, and we are joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Mike, first, as Jordan just said, Iranian developed drone, probably put in place by or manned by, directed by Hezbollah, killed an American contractor, injured other U.S. military personnel on a base of the United States in Syria. Where does that put us? Because this is a unique situation. You had under your administration, you had a tremendous growth and stability in the region with the Abraham Accords. I feel like we're digressing at a very rapid rate here.
Jay, we did live this for 4 years. What the Iranians understand is strength and power, and they'll do this kind of thing when they observe weakness. It does feel like this is coming unraveled, not just in this particular instance, and of course it is. Our condolences go out to the contractor, the American contractor that was killed. But it feels like it's coming unraveled in the sense of a risk is higher. The Middle East now no longer trusts the United States of America to have its back when difficult things happen. And that means the bad actors, whether it's the Houthis in Yemen or Hezbollah in Lebanon or Syria or the Iraqi militias, Shia militias in Iraq. These folks feel freer to come after Americans because they think that the United States won't take action in response. I'm happy to see that we did. I don't know precisely. I've seen the reporting. It's been a little bit all over about how we responded. But make no mistake about it, they would not have done this. They wouldn't have flown this drone. By the way, it's probably the same type of drone that's being used by the Russians coming from Iran in Ukraine. They wouldn't have used this drone if they thought that the cost of them was going to exceed the benefit. We have to restore that deterrence. These guys in the White House just simply haven't figured out how to do that.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, what I think people, again, they're waking up to this news. They're seeing us talking about it. They might be surprised that we even had a base in this many U.S., whether it's contractors and a mix of other U.S. officials, men and women, and including officials, men and women in our armed forces. So not just CIA or contractors, but that we have 900 still in Syria. And things have been relatively calm, at least what's been reported in the news. But in Secretary Austin's written statement, which was interesting to me that he added this point, because we weren't really seeing this in the news at all, that the attack followed a series of recent attacks against coalition forces in Syria by Iranian-affiliated groups. So things have been escalating in Syria. We just weren't really learning about that in the news. It wasn't being reported widely.
Jordan, it doesn't surprise me. So those soldiers have been on the ground there for quite some time. This was the force that was leading the charge to take down the caliphate during our years there when we needed the Americans on the ground to assist the indigenous forces at crushing ISIS, who was cutting people's heads off when President Obama was in office. The residual force that had remained there was attempting to secure that, provide a continued stability, and deter terrorism from that region. But the fact that this is heated up, the fact that the Iranians are now feeling more free to move about the cabin, right? It's consistent with the fact that the United States for months and months and months was sitting with the Iranians at the table, trying to figure out how to make sure the Iranians had a pathway to a nuclear weapon. The fact that they knew full well that they were likely to get the sanctions lifted on their regime. The fact that the United States no longer is as close a supporter of Israel. And so the Arab states, the Gulf Arab states, are now thinking, gosh, I got to hedge my bets with Iran. All of those things are of a part. It all seems disconnected. But this all drives from a central thesis, which is that when you appease the Iranian, the world's largest state sponsor of terror that have killed hundreds of Americans and thousands of people across the world, when you appease them, they're going to take advantage of it. And we saw that today.
It's very interesting that you said this, Mike, because it's kind of looking at the backside of a tapestry. It looks really pretty on the front and the backside. It looks like it's how did they get there to tie all these pieces in? And here's the thing that has me very concerned as someone that I've worked in this region for a long time. I've done work at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on issues involving the Middle East. But here's what has me the most concerned right now. And it seemed like in Saudi Arabia's situation, which is a complicated relationship, no doubt, and you dealt with it firsthand. But there seemed to be cooperation between the Saudis and the Israelis. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist at all now, because there was a common foe, and that was Iran. And I think that Russia was able to get in there and influence the Saudis as it relates to Iran, like you said, hedging their bets. And in every alliance you see that's dangerous, it seems like the constant right now is Iran.
I think that's true. I think it's true in large measure because Iran feels like they slipped the bit, like they were on the cusp of having to do something really difficult. And when President Biden was elected, they sent special envoy to go sit down and say, we told you to hang on. We told you to wait till President Trump and Mike Pompeo left and things would be better and we're going to make your life better. So you're exactly right. Think about this. So Iran providing drones to the Russians to kill Ukrainian kids. Iran now flying a drone to kill an American today. Iranians continuing to patrol the Persian Gulf in ways that put Israeli interests at risk. And the Israelis concerned about continued advancement of Iranians in the southeastern part of Syria that threatens them in connection to Hezbollah. These are all pieces. This is your point. These are all pieces of an Iran that feels emboldened and empowered. And when that happens, the central thesis, which was that if you isolate Iran, it is better for America, it falls apart. We had them as isolated as they had ever been. The Gulf Arab states were joined alongside of it. Some of them signed the Abraham Accords, but all of them knew that the United States was serious about protecting things that mattered to their people. And the Israelis knew that they could count on America as well. And when you do that, you put Iran in a box. And when you don't do that, you see the kind of things you're beginning to see happen, not only in the Middle East, but all across the world as well.
Mike, we appreciate it. Mike Pompeo, of course, former Secretary of State, former Director of the CIA, currently a Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, the ACLJ. Mike, thanks for your insight.
Again, we continue to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110.
There's an interesting thing, though. In this half hour of this broadcast, you had the former Director of National Intelligence and the former Secretary of State and Director of the CIA, all part of the ACLJ team, talking to our audience, our members around the country, frankly, around the world on these issues.
Yeah, but it's a story where a U.S., an American has been killed, three U.S. service members injured by Iran and their affiliates with a drone strike. We fired back. We killed eight of them. They fired back again. No casualties, thankfully, reported by the U.S. The question is what happens next there. But there's not a lot of news reporting on this right now, and that's because if you don't have Rick Rinnell and Mike Pompeo breaking this down for you, what I just said is about all you can say.
Right.
But we were able to get deep into why are we just learning today that things have been escalating on the ground in Syria? Who is escalating it? That it's not just Iran and Hezbollah and Assad and these ISIS kind of affiliates and us. That there's Russia, but also then by Russia, now there's China. So you're taking every major world power is at play in Syria right now.
Yeah, and that's where I said it.
While a war is going on in Ukraine.
Right. And that's how you get into a war that expands at a very drastic rate very quickly. And listen, part of our job at the ACLJ, when we say to protect freedom and liberty, you got to have a country to protect. You got to have freedom and liberty to protect for your kids and grandkids. That's why when we're doing this work, it's not just talking about it. We're taking action, folks. We brought in the leading experts in the world to figure this stuff out. We need your support at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So I want to encourage you, it's tax deductible, of course. Just go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. If you're able to do it, we appreciate it. ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110 for the second half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.